Are you ready for a change? Be it physical, mental, or emotional change, you've already got what it takes to make that happen. Your host for the upcoming program, the Matt Newton Power Hour, has trained in martial arts over the course of several decades. Time and time again, his training methods have saved or extended the careers of dozens of NFL, NBA, and Major League Baseball stars. Matt Newton has authored two highly acclaimed books, A Path to Power and The D Factor. The Matt Newton Power Hour starts now. Here's Matt. I've got the
power. Let's do a live radio broadcast.
Give me a kiss to build a dream on, and my imagination will thrive upon that kiss. Sweetheart, I ask no more than this, a kiss to
build a dream on. Good afternoon, everybody. And I mean everybody, everywhere. If you do not know, our musical guest host for today, I am sending Don Cornelius out to pull your soul card.
One thing before we part,
and he will be there waiting for you. I give you a hint, they call him Satchmo. The unbelievable Louis Daniel Armstrong. We just called him Louis. Satchmo. Some of those really in the know called him Pops. Yeah. Hey, gang, I'm Mac Newton, and this is the Power Hour. A beautiful Thursday afternoon in beautiful downtown Phoenix, Arizona. 105 degrees. Ooh, toasty. And you know what? We call the air juicy today because it's a little humid. Juicy. 105 degrees. But sunny. Couple little fluffy, like cotton-like balls floating around the sky. Nothing bad. Hey, Magic Man, what did you see on the way in, partner? Weather-wise, huh?
Well, I was thankful that we had the rainstorm, you know, recently. Ooh. Last week, but otherwise it's back to a little bit of humidity and, you know, summertime, basically, in Arizona here.
That's what you got. Basically, summertime in Phoenix, Arizona. What a day, what a life. We are in beautiful downtown Phoenix, Arizona, listening to Louis Armstrong. I'm Mac Newton. This is the Power Hour. The fabulous Natasha is making the studio look fabulous.
Hello, everybody.
How you doing, baby?
I'm doing terrific.
Are you having a good day?
I'm having a fabulous
day. Well, you look fabulous. What are you wearing today? What's going on? What do you got on today?
Dress.
I'm just waiting for her to start giving me some detailed explanation where I'm wearing a creation by the
nothing special, just summery.
Are you gonna sing for us today? People are really liking that.
We got Louis Armstrong today. And Ella Fitzgerald.
Yes,
right?
Got a little bit of that coming too.
I didn't think I can sing today. No, not today.
Okay.
Maybe the other day.
What other? Okay. Welcome to the show, gang, and we really appreciate you tuning in because you certainly had a choice on that. Cue it up again for me, Magic Man. We got a great show on tap for you guys today. A special treat. I think I mentioned to you, but I wasn't certain that she could get her schedule. But Lisa Jones, we call her LJ, is going to be here a little later in the show, and we're going to discuss her trek for hope to Lima, Peru. I mean, this is going to be amazing because we're talking Machu Picchu, we're talking Lima, Peru, we're talking trying to improve the lives of people who have been living under conditions involving spousal abuse. We want to strengthen family relationships. We're calling it a trek for hope, and we're going to find out how you can help this be a very successful trip. So stay tuned. Lisa Jones, LJ, is going to be with us. And, of course, sitting in her customary seat, the fabulous, the terrific A-Bomb is here in the house making it happen. There you go. You know, for those of you who did not know, you know, Louis Armstrong was first known because of his inventive approach to playing the trumpet. He got started playing a cornet, which is how a lot of people, a lot of trumpet players originally started playing. But he was a tremendous influence in jazz. In fact, his use of his voice was so instrumental in the jazz movement that he instructed and actually taught Billy Holiday and Ella Fitzgerald how to sing and how to use their gifts. I mean, his voice, of course, is instantly recognizable. I mean, all you have to do, and his trumpet as well. I mean, he has a very deep voice and distinctively gravelly. And contrary to the fabulous Natasha's opinion, I feel he's got a fairly strong range, but we know he's very influential. Did I convince you yet that his range is a little bigger than you think it is, Natasha? Oh,
yes, I think you did.
Yeah.
Of course you did.
Yeah. As an improviser, he is unparalleled. I mean, he created this whole jazz style of singing called scatting.
Yeah, and he was a grandfather of that.
Sure. Well, he created that, the father, I guess you would say.
Yeah.
And according to legend, he was singing in New Orleans and he forgot the words. So he just started saying, "Zee baba doo baba goo to papa." Yeah. So and so he just started making sounds and people just went berserk, you know, and there was born scatting. Hey, gang, welcome to the show. Our guest host today, Louis Armstrong. You know, it's amazing. He passed away in 1971. Can you believe it that he's been gone that long? I mean, whenever I see these dates of when these greats passed away, it's like they've been gone that long. You know why it seems they're still here? Because of the music. Because of the music they left us with, and then we can continue to listen to it. Well, we're going to give you guys the pleasure of listening to the incredibly inventive, scatting, skilled sounds of the one and only Louis Armstrong throughout today's show. And we have got a show for you guys today. We're going to finish up How to Control Your Mental Life. We're going to finish up that today. You have my promise. We've got an interview, which I know, from LJ's perspective, she's got a lot of stuff to tell you about her trek for hope to Peru. So LJ is in the house. And we've got some very interesting, another couple approaches to our conversation we've been having on competition versus creativity / initiative. So looking forward to that. Got a lot of emails today. I guess you guys are really getting sort of caught up in what we're talking about here as far as the our competition essay. I guess Ray wanted to drop a quick note. Welcome back, Ray. Thanks for the note. These segments, very, very enlightening. Looking forward to today's show. Thanks for that. We got a question from Chris. He says, which is more effective, telling someone how to do something or showing someone how to do something? You know, Chris, I'm going to answer that very quickly for you. You know, some of the best speakers in the world employ lots of tactics in order to zero a person's eyes into something to create pictures. I can speak when I really get rolling at somewhere around 350 to 375 words a minute. I can talk pretty fast sometimes. But your brain works somewhere between 580 and 620 words a minute. So one third of the time I'm speaking, you're thinking about something else. So apparently, it's always better. I think you can create images, visualization. The old saying, you know, one picture is worth a thousand words, is very, very true. But some people have not evolved to a point where they can visualize very well, very convincingly to their own mind, where it will actually affect their belief system. So these two teaching aids have to be used in harmony. I think that we can teach someone how to see better and we do that with words. So we bring them to a point where they can use their visualization, and now they'll be able to learn at a faster pace. So I guess what I'm getting down to is that they're both effective. They have to be used appropriately, as so many things are. There's nothing that's ultimately right, and I can't give you a right answer in this case. I think that learning from a visual perspective to someone able to do that will allow you to grow faster and have more lasting results. But sometimes we need to use the spoken word. We can use that to create a passion and enthusiasm and a convincing behavior in a person. And we'll do that by telling them things. So they both can be quite compelling. Now, of course, the power hour is using the spoken word. And there are people who says that it's actually changed their lives. So let's not devalue one because we feel that one may have the upper hand. It's all the appropriate use. Okay, Chris? And Chris, we're still waiting to see you in the house. Hope all is well. Okay, we might get to a couple more of those emails later on in the show. It is now exactly 8 minutes past the hour. And Mac Newton, this is the Power Hour. Glad you tuned in. You know, I got something here. This is kind of like my early segment today because it's going to tie into so many other things that we're going to deal with on the Power Hour. You know, if I had to choose between security and opportunity, I would choose opportunity in a heartbeat every single time. The vast majority of Americans, the vast majority of people in the world are looking to security. They're looking to provide. They're looking, I want to provide security for my family. I want to provide security for myself, my future. Security is an illusion. There are so many people who, you know, felt after 9/11 we lost our security. We never had it in the first place. It was an illusion. Geographically, we were placed in a spot where we're a long way from Asia and a long way from Europe. So that geographical placement gave us an illusion, a feeling of safety that no one could touch us. That was an illusion, okay? And people say, well, we don't have this. You know, the world has changed. You know, what's to say that we had the right to walk on an airplane carrying everything we owned anyway? I mean, people in Europe have long learned to live with the closeness and the proximity of different countries and sometimes who were at odds with one another and understood security, you know, I mean, and taking care of themselves. That's not a right. Security is an illusion, folks. You know what we have? We have opportunity. We have opportunity to improve the quality. I think, and I'm going to tell you right now, I am thankful for what has been called our economic recession. I'm thankful for it. You want to know why? Because it's brought out in me a different thought process of things that I should have done years ago. Well, make no mistake about it. We are going to come through this one way or the other. But will you come through this on the other side of it better off or just thankful that it's over? This whole illusion of security, what a joke. We have opportunity. We need to seize it at every chance. Seize opportunity. Seize it and run with it, okay? And you know what? Don't just run with it. Run with it decisively. Decisively. Don't be wishy-washy when you see an opportunity. So many people let fear dominate their lives. They're afraid of getting older. They're afraid of each other. They're afraid of not being able to make a living. They're afraid of dying. They're afraid of living. I mean, they're afraid of everything. They're afraid of making a bad decision. Some people can't make a decision. They stand in front of the peanut butter section in the store and can't decide between smooth and chunky. Get a life. Please decide. What color should I get? Red or green? I don't care. You know, whatever you get, decide. Whether it's a right decision or not doesn't matter. It'll tell you where you are. Seize the opportunity, make a decision, and go. From there, we will get some sort of a result which will tell us where we are. We can move on from there. And sooner or later, you're going to end up where you want to be. Sooner or later, because I know that for a fact. You keep stepping one foot after the other in the direction of where you want to end up. I don't care how slow it is. Sooner or later, you're going to end up there. But too often, fear sidetracks us. Fear of the unknown. Fear of the known. Fear of success. Fear of failure. We get sidetracked. The thing about critical, about decisive action, and it's so clear to me, I see it every day, is that at critical moments, decisive action, especially at critical moments, builds your momentum. It creates motion. You're in your movement. It builds your momentum. It builds your enthusiasm. It builds your excitement. And that becomes kind of like, you know what? Last week, we had a huge dust storm in Arizona. In fact, what did you say it was called there, Zach?
I guess there's an Arabic term for it, like a habab or habub, habub, something like that.
And a habub. And I think it's only in Egypt and in Arizona that this habub actually occurs.
Correct.
And what it is, it's more than just a dust storm. It's a phenomenon. It can be 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 miles wide, as in our case here in Arizona. It can be up to a half a mile or a mile high, and it's held together by static electricity. I mean, it's all the parts are held together, and it becomes a force of nature in itself. Well, when you seize an opportunity, and you then become decisive in your action, it builds your momentum, it creates your enthusiasm, and that excitement, you become like a personal haboob, and all those parts are held together statically, and it becomes a force of nature, and you can't be stopped at all, and it brings to you, like by magic, attraction, it brings everything you need to you. Just like that dust storm we had. It kept attracting. It was pulling dust by magnetic attraction. It was pulling it to it. It was just pulling it to it. And it just grew and grew. And that's what it's like in life when you seize opportunities. And now you have minimized the impact of fear. You have minimized fear's impact. And you become a force of nature that can't be stopped. And that's why we look at some people and we say, man, they're lucky. Whatever they touch turns to gold. It attracts it to you precisely when you need it. It's magic. It's magic. I'm telling you. I'm glad you tuned in today. My name is Mac Newton. This is the Power Hour. We've got a great show on tap for you guys today. Stay tuned. We've got Lisa Jones coming up to talk to you about her trek for hope in Lima, Peru, and how she is going to be hiking to help raise money and to improve the lives of people on the other side of the world. She is concerned about more than just her. We're listening right now to Louis Daniel Armstrong, Satchmo. Yeah. Turn it up a little bit there, Magic Man. Yeah.
Does it say where that nickname came from?
Satchmo? I don't know. I might let that out. Dixieland Jazz. This would fall into that category. Traditional jazz and swing. And then later in his career, he started doing a lot of pop music too, and relating to a broader demographic. Right? Yes. Let's talk about that range. Okay. You guys stay right where you are. We'll be right back. We're going to go sell something. Bye bye.
turtles in, splashing the night away. You hear those banjos ringing, all the people all singing.
Hi, gang, I'm Mac Newton. I want to remind you of something that's kind of cool. You know, on YouTube, they have this program now where they will create actually channels for people who love to upload videos, which I am one. We've got probably 20 videos uploaded right now on YouTube, and they're all about things that I've done in the past. Might be interesting to you as listeners of the Power Hour. We've got all kind of old Power Hour shows that are uploaded. Yeah, shows where the Power Hour was on television, where I'm talking about the 3-2 eating plan, and we've got demonstrations of self-defense and kids on and all kind of interviews with musicians and a lot of famous people, all uploaded there on YouTube. And here's what is something special. I've got a free Minimax 7-minute workout for you, a complete total body workout that's available for you on YouTube free. Log on youtube.com. Put in the name Mac Newton, okay, or Mac Newton Channel, and you'll go right there. I'm going to ask you to do me a favor when you go there, gang. I want you to subscribe to my channel. This is going to allow me later on to become partners with YouTube, and sooner or later, maybe then I'll be able to get even my online workouts out there more than ever before. And speaking of my online workouts, they are doing great. You guys are loving it, and we're making changes based on the things you suggest. And in fact, this free workout is one of the things you've suggested. We got more coming. So log on to YouTube and check out all of these videos, all kinds of stuff. Going back when I had long hair. You want to see that? I know you do. Okay, gang. Hey, we'll see you soon. Hey, gang, welcome back. I'm Mac Newton. This is the Power Hour. We do it every single Thursday at 5, no matter where you are, because we are broadcasting live on the World Wide Web, the Internet, that amazing information wave that just travels the world. I don't know how it works, but I'm loving being on it. I know right now we've got listeners in the Philippines. We've got listeners in New Zealand. We got listeners in Europe, in Poland, in the UK. We're big in the UK. We've got people all across the great US of A. We've got people in Alaska, our furthermost Western Hemisphere listeners up there, you know. And we've got them up there. We've got our listeners in Asia, all across the world. And I welcome you all to the show. In fact, want to do me a favor? If you like the Power Hour, I want you to tell a friend, okay, and get them to listen as well. We're listening to one of Satchmo's proteges, the fabulous Ella Fitzgerald, and she's scatting. Of course, that's what she learned from Louis Armstrong. You like that, don't you, Natasha?
Love it.
You love that. Now, you know what? I consider Louis Armstrong the most important figure in jazz. I call him the creator of modern jazz today. I think that he was the most important figure. His trumpet. I don't care who picks up a trumpet, I'll be able to pick his trumpet out of 1,000. No one plays trumpet like Louis Armstrong. So I want to tell you right now, he's one of the most important figures in all of jazz. I think he was born in New Orleans. I'm not sure here. Let me see if I can check on the internet. I think he was born, but I knew that's where he spent a lot of time, where he grew up, in New Orleans, Louisiana. And he was just, and he's still, to me, when you're listening to Louis Armstrong and Ella Fitzgerald, turn that up. It's like,
swing it up.
Oh, yeah.
Dance at the
Savoy. Now, see, you know what this would be called? This would be called swing. This will be called swing jazz, okay? And that's one of the genres that he perfected. And see, back this is back in the mid-20s to early 30s, where when they would play, all the participants would be encouraged to get on the dance floor, and they'd be swinging, throwing each other between their legs, across the shoulders, and around. They'd be just jitterbugging, see? That was called jitterbugging. And they'd be just swinging, and this music was called swing. You don't know anything about that. You're not old enough, okay? You know. Hey, GA, more stuff for you down in GA, huh? Yeah. GA's loving the show. Hey, Gay, welcome back. It is now exactly 20 minutes past the hour. We're taking it down. We're so happy to have Louis Daniel Armstrong as our musical guest host. We do have a lot of different music on the show with all from all kinds of genres. And we have one name that sums the whole thing up. All the kinds of music we listen to. Natasha, it falls under one category. What do we call it? We call it?
Music.
We don't care what it is. You know, you call it what you want to. You know, you can say, it's rock and roll. You know, it's rhythm and blues. It's jazz. It's smooth jazz. It's Dixieland jazz.
Fusion jazz.
We got some of that jazz fusion too. Jazz rock. Jazz pop. Okay. We got all that stuff. Okay. Traditional pop. How about classic R&B? To me, it's all
music.
That's what I like. It's all music. So what do you play? I play music. I love that. So I'm trying to find here. Zach wanted to know, how did he get his name of Satchmo? And I don't know. So I have looked him up here on the internet. I'm trying to find out. And I don't see anything about it. I mean, it's a huge bio. But maybe we'll find something about that and I can tell you. Probably I'm listening to someone listening probably knows about that. I think it goes back. Now, this is my guess. I think it goes back to when he was first considered to be the ambassador of music to the world from America. That's when I think that he was first called Ambassador Satch. And then it evolved into Satchmo. Now, I could be wrong on that. So if anyone listening has more information on how he got the name Satchmo, I would love to hear about it. So, but, you know, I'm not going to start naming people he's played with. Just let me say, he played with and encouraged and taught and inspired everyone from Billie Holiday to the Beatles to in every country and around the world. And when he passed away, he did die of a heart attack just a month before his 70th birthday. And he played he played trumpet all the way up to the final moment. Just a colorful character, just a really, really colorful guy. Louis Armstrong, proud to have him on our show. All righty, let's get moving. What's next? You know what we forgot in the first half? You know that. It's time for shout-outs. Thank you. Will someone pull my coat? Good Lord have mercy. What's going on? Let's run through this. Kurt out there in the UK. Hey, Kurt. You know what, Kurt? Kurt, I'm not sure exactly how you made this work. I'm not sure. But, you know, I'm going to get this wrong. But your girlfriend, Terry, man, you know, she's a looker. How did you do that? And now, you know what? She sent me like a report on a huge symposium that was done in England a couple of weeks ago. Blair was there and presented, and Tony Robbins and other people. And I want to tell you, this girl is sharp. She's going to keep you on a straight and narrow, okay? All right. Okay, so I'm really... Kurt out there in the UK. You know what, Kurt? Whatever happened to Mac? Haven't seen that guy lately. Veronica G out in the Philippines. Did I tell you we had listeners there too? Larry and Kimmy here in the Valley. DZ in Michigan, the Upper Peninsula. Okay, Chris and Nick. G-A-N-G-A. What's going on with G-A? What did he have to say? He also sent an email saying something. He loves the video blogs on Facebook. That's what he likes. He loves those things. You know, I like it. In fact, he even sent me... GA is all over the place. He didn't send me something specific about the show last week. He just threw out a shout out saying, Mac Daddy, you the man. I guess like I was playing golf. Get in the hole. You the man. Get in the hole. Get in the hole. You the man. Oh, my goodness gracious. Alfredo in Mexico. Did I tell you we had listeners in Mexico? You didn't know that, did you? Yes, we do. In fact, not only do we have listeners in Mexico, they're doing the 7-minute workout to the max in Mexico. Yes, they are. They're just burning it up, okay? In fact, we've got, what? We're approaching 2,500 views in 2 months on that thing, okay? Wow, that thing's going crazy. Andy in Spain, Al down in South FLA. Got an email from Al. Let's see, what did Al say to me here? I got an email from him. Al, he's trying to get back in the groove, been away for a while. Welcome back, okay? So anyway, maybe he's got a question about QuickTime, Magic Man. He says, in the last two shows, he's had trouble downloading it on QuickTime. Is it his computer, or do we have an issue? What do you think?
I can definitely take a look at that email for you, but you know it should just be an MP3 on the MacNewton.com.
Yeah.
And you go to Power Hour, the show should load for you there, and you should be able to save it. So
that's
I'll
what I thought.
Follow up with you that for you.
Okay. Al, there you have it from the expert. We call him the Magic Man for a reason. He's magic. Okay. And, of course, our furthest west listener, that would be Ryan Hodges out there in Alaska. In Alaska where they have the northern lights and stuff like that and 24 hours of sunlight. Is that still going on out there? Is that year-round all the time? LJ, you probably know. You know all that stuff.
Oh, I'm sorry, man.
You don't know.
Haven't been there yet.
Haven't been there yet? Okay. Well, it's one of the places that we should go because they say it's beautiful over there. Okay. Let's bring on our guest that has been waiting so patiently, Lisa Jones. Give her a hand, folks. Give her a hand. Let me tell you just a little bit about Lisa, about her program, okay? This summer is going to be her 8th mission trip to Lima, Peru, with what is called Food for the Hungry, okay? And every year, the team has a project that focuses on the needs of the community in a very holistic way, okay? Kind of like the Power Hour in that regard, spiritually, emotionally, and even physically. They're gonna teach and listen to and encourage and walk alongside the people so that they will learn how to help themselves. I so think this is a great, great program. And her passion for it, for serving the poor, started 12 years ago when she sponsored a little boy from Lima, Peru, through Food for the Hungry. So, she's gotten started. So let's welcome to the Power Hour, Lisa Jones. LJ, welcome to the show, LJ.
Thank you, Mac. Thank you very much. It's an honor to be on your show today.
Well, it's our honor to have you here on the show. Now, okay, we know that it's your 8th trip, and we know that when you sponsored a little boy, but what in that relationship with that little boy wanted you to continue? What did you see? What did you feel that made you want to take this association further?
Well, that's easy, Mac. When I went to Peru, the poverty just really caught me off guard, and I really saw that they had a lot of despair there. They don't have a lot of the hope and the joy that we have here. And when they saw our team arrive, their faces just lit up. And we were like rock stars, and they just, you know, really took us in the whole week, and we just loved them and showed them everything we could about, you know, this is a Christian organization, mm-hmm. So we do a lot of vacation Bible school programs. We do this particular one is domestic violence that we're going to mm-hmm. be doing this year. So we just want to show them some joy and give them hope for the future so that they can get out of this poverty. And we have seen good results over the last 10 years.
So this title is very appropriate, Trek for Hope.
Yes.
Peru.
Yes.
So you're building hope. You know, nothing is worse than being hopeless, where you think to yourself, no matter what I do, nothing's going to get better. And when you're reaching out and helping others, but not doing for them, but talking to them, listening to them, getting feedback, and teaching them to help themselves, that is an amazing thing. Now, aside from this project where you're talking about domestic violence, what are some of the other areas that you have been involved in that community to help strengthen and help take so they can move them toward self-sufficiency and just get more joy out of life?
Well, Food for the Hungry has been involved with Peru for many years, and they're there all year round. A lot of teams come from all over the world, and Food for the Hungry has set up programs to help them with medical checkups in the community. They also supply, when we sponsor a child, the money goes towards educational supplies, uniforms for the children, because they cannot go to school if they don't have supplies. Yes. Or uniforms.
Right.
So the program is not geared towards dependent on us or on Food for the Hungry, but it's geared on self-sufficiency and educating them on malnutrition. So when they do these medical checkups, they can check for any kind of diseases and educate them on what may be causing these diseases and give them proper nutrition and health care.
Yes. Now, when you came up with this year's theme, domestic violence, what prompted this particular topic?
Well, the Food for the Hungry staff has been there all the time, and this is something that they've noticed is the main problem that's causing a lot of, it keeps them in this same hopeless mode, that they don't treat children and they don't treat women well, and so there's not a lot of self-confidence.
It's a cultural issue.
It is a cultural issue. And so we want to work with the women and the children, and also the men and the young teens. Yes. And so
education.
That they understand that, yes, you know, this isn't the way we should treat one another. Mm-hmm. And that's not the way, you know, I would want to be treated, and we need to treat others the way we want to be treated.
I understand. Now, okay, so here you're going, the Trek for Hope Peru, August 30th to September 11th. Now, you may be listening asking, how can I get involved? How can you get involved? Well, about a month ago, we decided here at Newton Fitness that we wanted to get involved. We wanted to support this project, and we wanted to support it with our pocketbook. So Lisa's going to be going August 7th through September 11th on this trip. Now, when you're there, what exactly are you going to be doing? I'll get back to that in just a moment, but I want to first ask Lisa, what are you going to be doing in Peru?
Okay, the first 4 days, we're going to be directly involved with the mission part of this community, a lot of the communities, the poorest of the poor in Lima, Peru. We're going to be working with the communities and setting up resources and development centers to help them with the domestic violence problems. And
give them a place to go when something,
right,
happens, a safe house.
A safe house,
yes,
exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And so Food for the Hungry has set up specific programs that we're going to be helping them implement,
mm-hmm,
with the community leaders,
yes,
that are working with, that are already a year round working with Food for the Hungry. So when we come, it just helps motivate them to really get involved and to take this more seriously.
Okay. So what happens after that? That's
okay.
The first 4 days.
After that, then our team is going to fly to Cuzco. And we're going to get acclimated for a couple of days, and then we're going to start on the Inca Trail, which is about a 24-mile trek that goes to Machu Picchu.
Okay. And now explain to everyone what Machu Picchu is, okay?
Machu Picchu is a fortress that the Incas built that's up high in the mountains. They were hiding. They didn't want to be found. So they built this huge fortress, and it was just discovered in the early 1900s. On top of this mountain, it was completely covered, and now they've taken all of the trees away from it, and so you can walk around and,
or
see.
Or at least you could, huh?
Yeah.
At least you could. You know, I've not actually studied this, but Zach, you were saying you saw a Discovery Channel a program on Machu Picchu recently. Did you learn something about it there?
It's actually, you know, I didn't know we were having a guest on the show today. It's a place I've always wanted to go my whole life. So, I mean, as she said, it was, you know, just a city high on the mountains. I think, like you said, it was originally to avoid, you know, the conquistadors and the Spanish, kind of as a fortress. It's on the top of these mountains. It's usually got cloud cover and fog all over it and had vines and whatnot. It's, you know, just like a lost city you'd see in a movie or something. It's just actually there.
Exactly.
I've you know, it's on my bucket list, so I've got to get down there.
Well, you know what? I am trying to pull up here some information. Now, you're going to walk 24 miles. While you're explaining that, I want to see if I can find out, because I remember reading something where this place has a unique spiritual orientation. Somehow, its relationship on the planet to other parts on Earth were created in Peru very mysteriously. So I'm going to see if I can pull that up. Now, so you're going to walk, what, 24 miles, you say?
I think it's approximately 24 miles. We're going to be doing it over about 4 days.
Mm-hmm.
So
I see.
We're going to be spending the night each night, and they have porters that will carry all of our gear.
And when you spend the night, where are you going to be spending the night?
They have kind of a campground type set up every night that will be.
So you got to be in pretty good shape for this. Is that what you're trying to tell me?
Yes, that's what I'm told.
And is that at sea level or is that above sea level?
I think the average is about 11,000 feet.
About 11,000 feet. So because you said you had to go in one place and then acclimate, that would tell me that that you're kind of high up and you're going to have to be in shape to make that happen. So this is the last year that people are going to be allowed to actually walk through Machu Picchu. Is that correct?
Yeah, they're going to be building a tram, I believe, so that visitors will just see it from above and not be able to walk through it after this year.
Why is that?
I guess I got to go this year.
Well, you'll still be able to see it. It's just not up close and personal, but...
So is it because the people who
want to preserve it?
They want to preserve it, yeah. And they're, you know, okay, all right, fine. Well, I did pull it up. I did Machu Picchu is the way it's pronounced. I did get it here on my computer about 8,000 feet above sea level, situated on a mountain ridge in Peru, north of Cusco, and the Urubamba River flows there. Most archaeologists believe that Machu Picchu was built as an estate for the Inca Emperor Pachacuti.
Yes.
Did I say that correctly? Really? Mm-hmm. Wow. Often, thank you. Oh, that's such sarcasm. You'll pay for that. Okay. Often referred to as the Lost City of the Incas, it is perhaps the most familiar icon of the Inca world. So anyway, I guess they started building this estate around 1400 AD, but abandoned it as an official site for the Inca rulers a century later at the time of the Spanish conquest. So there you have it. There's more, but that's what I'll share with you right now. You know what? Let's get back to what can you guys do to help Lisa in her trek for hope? Peru. I'll tell you what you can do. You can make out your check. You can make out your check to Food for the Hungry, or you can donate online at GRUPREV.com/LisaTrek. Okay? That's GRUPREV, like Group Rev.
Correct.
.com/ Lisa Trek, LisaTrek. Okay? So make out your check for Food for the Hungry. We wanted to raise about $4,000. How are we doing?
I have about $3,400 right now.
Wow. We've raised close to $3,400. That deserves an applause right there. Not me saying the name right. See what's up? You see what it... Yes, right here, just in this building. So all of you guys out there, how much time we got to get this thing done, Lise?
I need to to raise that money this month, in July.
In the month of July. It is the 7th of July. We need to raise $2,000. Can we do it, gang? I think we can do it. We need to raise $2,000. And I know for a fact GA is going to send something. In fact, I know all of our shout-outers are going to send something in. Let me see. Let me get some names here. I'm going to call some names out. Let me call, like I used to do when I was with the Cubs and the A's. Let me call out some names and put people on the spot. I know it. Kurt, I need some money. I need some money, and I need it made out to Food for the Hungry, okay? Food for the Hungry. If you get confused and you don't know where to send it, make the check out to Food for the Hungry. Send it here to me at Newton Fitness in Phoenix, Arizona. We already know if you put my name in Phoenix, Arizona, it'll get here, okay? We know that. That's happened before many times, okay? So we need a check. Kurt, we need that from you, all righty? Chris, we need something, all right? Barry from Chicago, I need a check. Barry, I need that. I need a check. Let's get it in the mail today. So, you know, whatever makes you happy, you know, GA, I know you're going to help make it happen. Alfredo, let's make it happen. In fact, Alfredo might meet you up there. You know, he may decide to just go on over there, stroll over and do that. Okay, Andy in Spain, let's make this happen. Al, South FLA, I know it. I hear jingling. Send it over. And Ryan, let's make this thing happen, okay? Just from this group right here, I think we can get $2,000. I know that. And I know the magic man is saying, he's pointing to himself right now. I'm just kidding. He's saying he's gonna put something in there too. All right, gang, you know what? This is just amazing. I love things like this. I love people who do things to do more than just for themselves. Let me see. Yes, Lisa.
There is one other way they could help, and okay, that's to sponsor a child. And
how would they do that?
They can go to that same website, and there's a link there to sponsor a child.
Well, that's how you got started, right?
That is.
That's how exactly you got started, and that inspired you to do even more. So there you go. How about both? You know, you can get involved and help this project. And I want to tell you something right now. This is something where we know where every dime goes. This is not where you're giving you some faceless bunch of megalomaniacs out there someplace who are doing more than raising money for their own youth through some so-called charity. This is not it. This is something. This is not her first trip. This is her eighth mission trip to Lima, Peru with Food for the Hungry. And every year, the project has focused on different needs of this community. So, all righty. So you too can be a part of this team that's going to go down there. You too can help. And you can help build a focus on building strong family relationships as well as strengthen resources within the home and family, okay? According to this information, over 80% of the people in this community experience domestic violence in their homes. And the money raised is going to go toward creating safe spaces such as community centers, libraries, children's play areas, and sport courts, okay? So I hope that you're going to join me and Lisa Jones in helping children and their families be restored together as a family unit through having the opportunity to be part of this school project in their community. So make your checks payable to Food for the Hungry. So Lisa, LJ, thanks for being on the Power Hour, and thanks for all you do.
Thank you, Mac. Thanks for all you've done to help me on this.
Well, I told you we're going to get this money raised, and we're going to do it one way or the other. I made a commitment. We're not going to miss out.
I believe it.
Okay. There you have it, gang. Lisa Jones getting involved, doing it in a great way. And I'm going to tell you, now that she signed off here, but let me tell you what I had to do to get her to do this. You know, when I said, no, we're going to raise this. She said, no. I can do it. She wants to take it all from her. She wants to write the check, all of it herself. I said, let's all get involved, not just one person. I mean, I actually had to push her. I mean, to push and pull so that we can get involved. And she's not doing this so someone can point a finger at her. She's doing this just from her heart. This is something she just wants to do when no one's watching. I'm so impressed. I want to help, and I know you do too. So let's make it happen. We need a couple grand. All of you can write a check for anywhere from $25, $50, anything's going to help, $100. Those of you fortunate enough to send 200, wow, okay? Send it on in. We will love it. So thanks for all you do, Lisa, and we're going to keep you up to date every single day. It is now exactly 17 minutes before the hour. Start the music. Let's get a little bit more Satchmo before we take our final break of the day. Yeah.
Life is a cabaret, old chum. Come to the
clap if you like Louis Armstrong. Yeah. Hey, gang, you stay exactly where you are. We'll be right back for more Power Hour coming at you.
Time for a holiday. Life is a cabaret.
Hi everyone, this is Zach Geist, also known as the Magic Man. The Power Hour is brought to you by Newton Fitness Online, the same high conditioning and training that Mac Newton provides in his beautiful Central Phoenix, Arizona location is now available to you online, 24 hours a day. It couldn't be easier. Just log on to MacNewton.com and go to Mac's gym. Yep, his gym is online now. Just go and select your fitness level and go to class. Okay, don't put it off. Go to MacNewton.com now, check it out, and get in the best shape of your life.
Hey gang, I'm Mac Newton. I want to give you a little bit of an update on what's going on with our championship level goal setting program. It is taking off like a rocket ship. Now, I realize I don't have a place online where you can order it. However, you can call my office and speak to Lisa, 602-957-6492, and you can reserve your copy of championship level goal setting, which will give you a 2-CD program along with a workbook. The CDs will guide you through the voice with you and members of your team, either in your office or in family, through the entire championship level goal setting program. It is amazing. As a matter of fact, pretty soon, Blair and I will be embarking on a tour where we're going to be demonstrating this live and in person. So if you see us coming to your area, be sure and jump on board. The championship level goal setting program is now available. We've been talking about it online. You've been hearing about it on Facebook. Now is your chance to get your copy, all right? So call 602-957-6492 and reserve yours right now. Temporarily, copies are limited, so jump in and make sure you are not left behind. Welcome back. It's now exactly 15 minutes before the hour. Before the hour of 6 here in a beautiful, sunny, slightly humid. I couldn't call it overcast. Just some wispy little fluffy cotton ball clouds drifting across a very blue Arizona sky. See, the Arizona sky is different. You see, it has a unique look to it. Everything about the Southwest has its own look. Sometimes I'm watching westerns on TV or even movies, and I can tell by the soil or the sky if it was filmed in Arizona. Something to it. Jeepers Creepers.
My mom used to sing this one to me.
Did she really?
Yes, sir.
Is that what got you started in music right early age? When your mom sang Jeepers Creepers, was she a singer?
Like many of our musical guests, honestly, I started in, you know, church.
Young, yeah, exactly.
Playing in church bands and whatnot.
All right. Jeepers Creeper. Where'd you get those peepers? Now you might say, okay, what is this? This would be your traditional jazz. This is a traditional jazz with a little bit of a Dixieland to it.
Where is ragtime classified? Because I think sometimes people would call it
ragtime's an earlier genre. They came in before this with Jelly Roll Morton. Came in a little bit. Who has a really fast, almost 5 beats a measure tempo. A little bit. You can see this early jazz with the clarinet. You rarely heard clarinet in full jazz bands, but with the Benny Goodman Orchestra, you saw that a little bit, which was a lot of swing. This is not so much swing. This is a little Dixieland jazz. Still sounds good to me. I like it all. All right, gang. Well, our musical guest host today has been... Yeah.
Creepers.
Yeah.
Where'd you get those creepers? Jeebus, creepers, where'd you get those eyes?
Sometimes I'm asked, when you think of Louis Armstrong, do you think of Louis more as a singer or as a trumpet player? Well, to me, he's both, because as a trumpet player, his contribution to jazz is just... And plus, he went through so much personal... I'll use the word humiliation as being the forerunner for so many African-American performers on television, and the things that he was asked to do and endure, which he did willingly to provide a format where others could follow him. And people don't know the things that he had to go through, and some of the songs and he had to sing, and some of the roles he had to play that were so demeaning to a person of color, but that he did knowing that he was a forerunner and this was history in the making. So rarely gets the credit, and he gets a lot of credit, that he truly deserves as a forerunner of jazz and one of the true leaders in, you might say, the civil rights movement. But he did it from a musical perspective. Yeah. Louis Armstrong. All right, gang, let's finish up now our final segment on how to control your mental life. This is our easiest segment, sir. Simplest segment. Number one of the 7 ways to control your mental life.
Visualization.
Yes. Natasha says, you got me last week. You will never get me again. I'm all over it, Baghdadi.
Yes.
Number one, visualization. That's the first of the 7 ways to control your mental life. And perhaps the most powerful technique of self-image modification. Number two.
Affirmations.
This is a way of saying yes to your possibilities. This is a way of saying yes to the things you want to do. The affirmations have to be couched in the 3 P's. That would be the positive, present tense, and
personal.
Thank you so very, very much. It is, they're strong statements about you that talk about the person that you want to be. Number three.
Verbalization.
Now, you want to say it out loud. It's to affirm aloud and with others, or even alone in front of a mirror, standing in front of a mirror and saying very clearly and emotionally, I can do it. I like myself. I like myself. I like myself. I can do it. I like myself. I can do it. I am responsible. I am responsible. This is a powerful way to build up your confidence for any coming challenge. Anything that you say aloud and with conviction and enthusiasm has double the impact of an affirmation that you make quietly to yourself. When you insist to others that you can or you will do something, not that you hope you'll try, but that you can or you will do something, this has a powerful impact on your thinking. It has a powerful impact on your behavior subsequently. I use this form, this method of verbalization in my 10 years with Oakland with tremendous success. I followed up again with Dallas using the same techniques. Sometimes I would use it to prepare them for even events like certain games. So keep your conversation throughout the day consistent with what you really want to happen, okay? Refuse to discuss your fears. Refuse to discuss your misgivings. Be positive and optimistic, okay? Number four.
Act the part.
Act the part. Like we say on the street, fake it till you make it. This technique of mental programming is simple. Walk, talk, and act exactly as if you already were the person you wanted to be. Behave as if you already have achieved the goals that you've set for yourself. Act as though you were recognized and respected by everyone. Act as though you already had the money in the bank. The power of this technique, I explained before very thoroughly by using the law of reversibility. So go back and listen at it if you need to review that particular part. But I'll tell you right now that law states quickly that when you feel positive and optimistic, your feelings will generate actions and behaviors consistent with them. And the opposite is also true. If you don't feel positive, but you act enthusiastically or cheerfully anyway, despite how you feel, your positive behavior will generate then positive feelings. Okay. It is almost impossible to act the part of a happy, cheerful person for any length of time at all, 1 minute, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, without getting what I call backflow. You're going to get backflow into your life from acting this way. And it will create actions that are consistent with those emotions. Okay? As I said before, fake it until you make it. Behave positively and enthusiastically, and you will soon feel positive and enthusiastic. Number five.
Feed your mind continuously.
Continuously feed your mind. I say go on a 24-hour positive mental attitude diet. Or I would say, let's make it better, a 21-day PMA diet. Positive mental attitude for 21 days. 21 days, keep your mind focused consistently where you're feeding your mind with words and images consistent with the direction in which you are growing, okay? 21 days. And why do I say 21 days? It's simple. It's simple. You've heard me say it many times. A chicken that has a brain the size of an egg, okay? A chicken has a brain the size of a pea. What did I say? An egg. What comes first? Chicken or the egg? I get that in my brain, okay? I knew how that happened. But a chicken has a brain. What are you laughing at, Avon? Huh? You get over here and do it. Come on.
Okay.
Hey, Mom's laughing at me. Okay. I'm sorry, Avery.
Continue.
Yeah.
What about the pee?
Don't get sidetracked back there.
I'm concentrating. Okay.
She's concentrating for me. A chicken has a brain the size of a pea. And with a brain the size of a pea, it can still sit on an egg through sheer instinct alone for 21 days and hatch it into a chick. Human beings have brains that weigh up to 4 pounds with between 30 and 40 billion with a B cells that could remember everything from the beginning of human history if it could be tapped. Every single thing. So certainly, we can keep our mind focused on one thing at a time. Okay? So let's go on a 21-day positive mental attitude diet, in which in that time we're going to feed our mind continually. We're going to read books. We're going to listen to tapes. We're going to listen to the Power Hour. We're going to use affirmations. We're going to visualize. We're going to only think positive thoughts. And whenever you find yourself being negative, you're going to stop and go right back to day one and start all over again. And by the end of that 21 days, you will now have a permanent positive mental attitude. It will take 21 days or less. I want you to read books and magazines for personal development. I want you to listen to educational CDs, attend seminars and lectures, and take additional courses that will accelerate your development in these new habit patterns of thinking. Okay? Now, I can help you out with that. If you're looking for information, right on my website, completely free, I have probably 50 or more essays called Mac Newton On that you can read to help you stay positive. You can read one per day, or two per day to keep you positively focused. I've got enough online to keep you focused for those 21 days. If you need more, I've got 43 days on a path to power, which is a CD program, which I put together after, I think about 2002, which chronicled the 43 days that I spent teaching the Chicago Cubs to get ready for a season and everything I taught them for the 43 days that constituted spring training. And you can listen to a different tape every day for 43 days. And at the end of that, you're going to have a positive mental attitude. The more you read, listen, and watch and learn about any subject, the more confident that you will be in dealing in that area. Okay? Number six, let's jump ahead. Number six, let's move.
Associate with positive people, winners.
Associate with positive people. Get around the right people. We all know who the right people are. We know who they are. I don't have to tell you. We know who they are. You know, people know when they're out too late. Okay? They know that. But they stay out anyway. You know what we have to do? We got to stay connected, gang, to the things that we know work. We have to stay connected to that. Okay? Get around the right people. Associate with winners. And winners are people who are simply doing what's important now. If you want to know what a winner is, if you want to know how to spot a winner as soon as you talk to them, wait till something goes wrong and then watch what they do. If they're a winner, they're going to say, "What can we do about this?" If they're a loser, they're going to say, "It's not my fault. I didn't do it." They're going to have a plea of not guilty. That's a loser. Get away from them. The winner doesn't care whose fault it is. The winner is going to say, "What do we do about this? How do we fix it? What needs to be done right now?" And if it is important to apportion blame out, to figure out who's responsible, we'll do it after we do what's important now. Winners always do what's important now. That's how you spot them, get around them, and we know who they are. It's not exactly 10 minutes before the hour, gang. I'm Mac Newton. This is the Power Hour. We do it every Thursday at 5. Get around those people. Learn to fly with the eagles rather than spend your time scratching with turkeys. The influence of the people that you hang around, and because of that strong influence, the people that you hang around, you must be extremely careful about whom you choose your time with. Make no useless acquaintances. Don't hang around negative people. Staying in a bad relationship can be enough in itself to cut you off from your full potential for future success and happiness, no matter what else you may do. There is no suggestive influence more powerful than the people you have around you. Not a suggestive influence. In fact, there is only one human influence stronger than a suggestive influence, and that's the power of love. That's it. You got the power of love, and the next influence is the suggested influence. Okay? Select with care. Number seven, we're finishing up, gang. The seventh technique for internalizing all these six principles I've given you so far, starting way back at verbalization and coming all the way forward, okay, to get around the right people. Technique number 7 is to teach others. Teach others. Okay, here's what I'm going to tell you. Did I actually say you become what you eat? I'm going to say it this way. You become what you teach. So what are you teaching? You become what you teach. You become what you share. And you know what you teach? You teach what you are. Okay? When you attempt to articulate and when you attempt to explain a new concept to someone else in order to help that person, you are then going to understand it far better. And you're going to internalize this information inside of yourself, and you're going to then start to express it even better on the outside. In fact, you can only really know something to the exact degree to which you can teach it to someone else. So you can teach it and have them understand it, and then take the further step of applying it into their own lives. You can take that from me because that's what I do. And one of the reasons that I like to do it is that I like to talk about things that I want to hear. People ask me, well, how do you choose your topics? That's what I want to talk about. It's my show. I want to talk about that because I want to keep growing. And these are the things where I might see a flaw or a weakness or something in me that needs to be addressed. You see, a human being is a road constantly under construction. You're never going to reach a point where, okay, I'm set now. I'm set for life. Good. Everyone wants that. No, don't even look for that. The fun is in the growing. The fun is in the living the life. Okay? All right. Developing brand new positive habits of thought and behavior, that's not easy. I'm not saying that it is. It requires vigilance, folks. It requires effort. You've got to launch yourself into your new habits really, really strongly. I mean, never allow exceptions. Don't make excuses until your new habit is locked in. When you slip from time to time, the important thing is you don't dwell upon that little slippage. Don't dwell upon it. Your job is to get right back up and go again. Keep your mind focused on the direction in which you're going, on your goals, okay, and on the new person that you are becoming. All right, there's all 7. I said that I was going to do it. I did. Now I'm going to finish up with one little thing here. Two little things, actually. Forget about the way you have been in the past. Forget about past failures. Discard past labels. Forget all the negative things that happened in the past. Throw away all the past labels. It's how you see yourself. It's how you talk about yourself. And how you act now, right now in the present, that really counts. That's what's creating your future, game. If you can see yourself right now as you want to be, as you can see yourself right now as the person that you've always dreamed about being, and then you walk and you talk and you behave in that manner. I mean, as the very, very best person that you can imagine yourself truly being. Pretty soon, all of your thoughts will be directed in that fashion. And those dominant thoughts will materialize in your reality. You will have then a brand new reality. You will have become the person that you really wanted to be. Something that very few get a chance to experience. Very, very few. Very few people get a chance to experience in their lifetime the person that they dream they could be. But you know what, though? You can. And it's so much sweeter than you might ever think it could be. It's actually better. The final thing. Don't wish for your life to be easier. Don't wish you could finish your education. Don't wish for better health. Don't wish at all. Wishing is actually counterproductive. It's only half the sentence. The other half is, but I know I can't. Instead of wishing, decide. All of this stuff that I've talked about here for this last month about controlling your mental life, it's about getting to this point for you to decide. Because the other half of the sentence is, but I know I can't. I wish I could finish my education. I wish I could be like you. I wish I could lose this weight, but I know I can't. Instead of wishing, decide. Decide to be healthier. Decide to finish your education. Decide to make your life easier. It's the power to change your life. It's commitment. It's that simple. Hey, gang, make sure you're good to yourself. Okay? Keep your words and your behaviors in harmony so you're being true to yourself. And remember, save your best behavior for those you love and who love you. We'll see you again next Thursday. Hey, Zach. Thanks for being on the show, brother. You make it happen. The fabulous Natasha. As always, you're the best in the business, darling. And thanks to Lisa Jones for being on the show and showing us how to share our heart with the whole world. 3, 2, 1. Peace to Mac Daddy is out.